Today on Real Life Radio.
If we believe that verse, we'll stop worrying about stuff. He knows it all. Oh no, what about that? Apparently he already knows. But what's going to happen about that? Apparently he's got it. I'm just supposed to learn something through it. Well, why'd my car blow up? You probably didn't put oil in it. But anyway, God knows. God knows. Learn something from it.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 2, continues his series called The Why Series. You know, as Christians, we all know that truthful answers are very hard to come by these days, especially if we're looking anywhere else but the Bible. Even the answers to the most complex issues of life, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, are found in the pages of Scripture. You know, the rejection of absolutes is really what's sweeping across the world these days. People want to do what's right in their own eyes, regardless of the facts. This is especially true with Christianity and the Bible. People want nothing to do with the cross and the resurrection because it makes them responsible for their own sin. What they fail to realize is how much God wants to reveal to us His character, His devotion, and a more powerful and victorious way to live. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we can only scratch the surface of what Christianity and the Bible really mean to humanity. The Bible lies at the heart of our Christian belief and practices, and nothing even comes close to Scripture when it comes to making sense out of the chaos in this world. And now in his message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Self-claims about the Bible. For example, 2 Timothy 3:16. This is what the Bible says about itself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Boom. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What does that mean? The Bible's the authoritative word of God, and if you read it and apply it to your life, your life's going to be radically different. Amen. It's just a fact. It's a self-claim by the Bible, but it's a fact. You say, how do you know? Oh, I don't know. I'm just going off of billions of people who have had this experience, who can attest to the fact that God transformed their lives. Oh, I got to tell you something. I wasn't planning on telling you. I got to tell you this. I met a hero recently. Do you remember some Sunday ago? Actually a long time ago. I was telling you about MyPillow. You know that MyPillow guy? I was at a thing and I was walking by and he walked by. And I said, oh no, no, stop, stop, wait, 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 stop, 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 stop. And he stopped and he goes, what, what? I go, Mike Lindell. I love you. I love your pillow. No, serious. He said, what's your name? And tell me why you love it. So I told him why I love it. And then he said, you know, it's amazing. He said, someone's told us that we're the fastest growing company in America right now. And, He's just all animated and full of life. And his wife was with him. And she goes, Mike, Mike, don't take the glory. Tell him how you got the pillow. I'm telling you now, you want to know something? He said, I had a dream. He said, I was an absolute drug addict, stoned out of my mind, lost, godless man. And he said, I came to Christ, and he said, I had a dream. I had a dream about chemicals and compounds. He goes, I don't even know that stuff. All this design, all this stuff, all this fabric and this thing, and he said it was completely foreign, absolutely not even known to me. He said, I woke up in the morning, I had perfect recollection of it, wrote it down, went and talked to some people who knew stuff about chemistry, put this stuff together, and invented my pillow. He said, I've made millions and millions of dollars, and I didn't do anything. He said, God gave it. So ever since then, I've been laying down at night with a notepad next to my bed. No, I'm kidding. But what was my point? My point was the guy was completely lost. He was godless and he was messed up, and Jesus came into his life. And I have his pillow. But so do you, apparently. He transforms lives. God does that. And he's faithful. Say, I don't believe it. Why don't you give him a chance? Why don't you give him a chance? I preached the gospel in Moscow, Russia, and an evolutionary biologist came up to me. I was preaching outside in Red Square. This was 1993. And a Soviet Russian scientist came up and said, I'm an evolutionary biologist, and I've been raised and taught that there is no God. Everything that you said, I don't understand. A word you said, I've never heard this before, but something inside striking my heart. And this is, I tell you what, this is awesome, being a Christian. I told him, when you go home tonight, we talked about the gospel and all, and then I said, when you go home tonight, you get into your flat and you ask God if this conversation today that you and I had, you ask God if it's true. And he said, what if I don't believe in God? And I said, I don't even care about that. Just go and ask him. Now, there's a little bit of a trick to that. If he goes home and claims and tells himself, I don't believe in God. Hello, God, I don't believe in you. You see what I'm saying? God moves on the heart, and he's moving on your heart. And he's moved on our hearts. Self-claims of the Bible. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's liberating, transforms you. The Bible's effectiveness in our lives is absolutely awesome. Now would be a good time for me to stress, by the way, make sure in your Christian experience that you are familiar with the person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Sometime we ought to just take the time to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, what he wants to do, what he does. And we ought to talk sometime soon, maybe we will in the Why series, about how the Holy Spirit in your life is with you regarding prayer. The Holy Spirit's desire is to have your prayer life radically transformed. How you talk to God, the Holy Spirit wants to show you how to do that. I think that'd be a good Wednesday night. We'll do that in this series, if I remember. You need to remind me. Number two, regarding why does Christianity claim to be right, is because, listen, it's what we mentioned also, the historicity of Christianity, the historical records of the Christian faith. You say, well, when was the Christian faith born? When was it? And you know, we'll say this. We'll say things like the church was born on the day of what? Pentecost. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. That's true. But you need to understand something about when we talk about when did Christianity begin? That is not so easily answered. Think about it. I can show you tonight biblically from an Old Testament argument that Abraham was a Christ follower. I can prove it. Did you know that? Now Abraham didn't say he was a Christian. That's what that term means, by the way, that title, Christ follower. But did not Abraham follow in the theophanies, the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ? Remember the whole drama with Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember when Abraham was interceding? And even the promise regarding the birthing of the boys of Isaac and Ishmael. these pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. I could argue with you tonight in the book of Joshua, when Joshua meets the captain of the Lord's host, it's God in human skin. He bows down and worships him. I could argue tonight that Joshua was a Christian. See, that sounds weird. I know it sounds weird, but Joshua was a Messiah follower. How's that? Same terminology, but I'll make it Hebrew. A Messiah follower. I'm a Messiah follower. Noah was a Messiah follower. Are you with me? Think of it. There's not one God of the old and a different God of the new. So what happened is what was promised in the Old Testament became a reality in the new, and it was qualified by eyewitness and fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. And so David, when you look at David's life, David seemed to be, I know he wasn't, but seemed to be as much born again as you are. Now he wasn't, because the Holy Spirit didn't inhabit people permanently at that time. But you read David and you relate to David, don't you? And his prayers are in his Psalms. It's wonderful. It's amazing. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Isaiah 46, 9 begins there and it says, "For I am God and there's no other God. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done." God to God, history is the now because he's eternal. Isaiah 45, verse 21, it says there, verse 21, "Declare what is to be, present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who has spoken of these things in advance? Who declared it from distant years or distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." That is awesome. That's the God of the Bible. He's the God that encompasses all time and eternity. One more. Isaiah 42, verse 9 says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." So then why do we worry about anything? Let's be honest. Do you believe that verse? If we believe that verse, we'll stop worrying about stuff. He knows it all. Oh no, what about that? He already knows. Well, what's going to happen about that? Apparently he's got it. I'm just supposed to learn something through it. Well, why'd my car blow up? You probably didn't put oil in it. But anyway, God knows. God knows. Learn something from it. You know what? What's really tough in some well-known religions in the world today is that whatever happens, it's so sad. Listen, for example, do you remember the great tsunami that devastated Phuket and Thailand and all of that? You know, it's a Muslim region of the world. Sri Lanka. And on video, you can hear people say, in Arabic, they're saying, "Allah's will be done. Allah's will be done." And what they're saying is, we don't know, but this is the will of God. And in Islam, if you fall off your chair and break your leg, they believe that that's God's will for you. And that, I'm not, if you're a Muslim here tonight, you know that I'm telling you the truth. I've read the books, I've heard the messages and sermons. It's, oh, you know what? If this tragedy happens, if that event takes place, if this guy's house burns down and they perish within, you know, it's all as well. There's not much hope there. You see, yeah, but what about Christianity? Is not Yahweh, the God of the Bible, in control? Yeah, he's in control. Listen, he's in control, but he tells us in advance, this world has been sold under sin, sold into slavery of sin. Now watch this, because hopefully the light will turn on in a moment. The God of the Bible tells you, you see the mess that's all around? It's not my doing. I didn't want this. That's not my will. You've been to Chuck's Hospital? Children's Hospital of Orange County? You walk down those hallways? If that's what God created, I don't want anything to do with that kind of a God. No way. No, that's what sin's created. Mankind's fallen. And sin has been running through the human race since the fall. It's the God of the Bible and the God of the Bible only who says, I'm your God, there is no other. And oh, by the way, I'm your Savior, there's none like me. The other one says, oh, well, the God of the Bible says, I'll get you out of this mess. Hang on, it'll be over soon. Your mom and dad got you into it, Adam and Eve, I'll get you out of it. Think of it. Think about the declarations of the Bible. We'll run through these. Declarations. And you do understand we're scratching the surface of this infinite truth of who he is. Declarations of the Bible. John 17:17 for one. Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That was the prayer of Jesus. Jesus is praying to his Father, speaking about the flock that was in front of him. And every one of you here tonight who are Christians, Jesus prayed, Father, sanctify them. Did you know that's Jesus' desire for you? That your life would be set aside for him? That's an awesome declaration. What about Psalm 17, verse 8? Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Is that beautiful? Think about that for a moment. You know what the apple of your eye is? The psalmist is saying, I want my relationship to be with you so sensitive, so tender, that it's as tender as taking a stick and poking the cornea. It's the cornea of your eye. Okay, that's pretty sensitive. The apple of your eye, that's what that means. And then how beautiful to speak, to communicate to us in comforting terms that God's desire is to cover you, to protect you, as it were, under the shadow of his wings. Little birds that are harmless and helpless will take refuge under the wings of the mother hen or the eagle. God says, I want to be like that to you. The God of the Bible does that. That's why I'm a Christian. And I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but there's no better show in town, ladies and gentlemen. So, well, you're a Christian then by default? That's the best show in town? No, it's the only show. Oh, is that why you believe? Because there's nothing else? No. It's because he's the only one that's true. He's the only truth there is. And he says in Isaiah 26:3, oh, you're going to want to write, this is one to write down. God says to you tonight, you will keep him. God will keep him, keep you, keep her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, anchored. Is your mind fixed on God? Is your life tormented? Are you tormented? Is something going on and you're just disheveled of spirit? Your soul is cast down. God says, I will give you peace. I'm going to bless you because your mind is stayed. The word is anchored to me. Some of you may be going through horrific things of life and you don't even know to go left or right, stand up, sit down. You don't know what. You lost all bearings. Have you ever been hit so hard spiritually like that in the stomach where you lose the wind, your wind, get the wind knocked out of you? And it's just like, you know what? I don't know what's up. I don't know what's down. God help me. You know, the moment you cry out to him, Christian, in your situation, that pain and that grief, you're actually having your heart anchored to him when you do that. That's why in your Christian life, when something happens, you run toward him. You don't run from him. Sometimes a Christian will run from him. That's called a backslidden Christian. They run. They don't get very far. A child that belongs to God, if they panic and run, he'll only let them go so far. But he says, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Do you trust God? The declarations of God, I love this one. This sounds so New Testament, but it's not. Ezekiel 36:26. Ezekiel 36:26. You guys okay? We're almost done. You all right? I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You know, he spoke that to the Jews, and that's not yet fulfilled. It's coming. Oh, that's going to happen, by the way. Ezekiel 36:26 will be ultimately fulfilled in the tribulation period. It's given to the Jew. And you say, oh, I like that verse. I was just going to memorize it, but it's a Jew verse? No, it's a Gentile verse too. You can take it if you want it. No, seriously. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Right? I had somebody really get upset one time because, hey, Pastor, I heard your favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11. I go, that's right. And he goes, you can't lean on that verse. That's not available to you. You're not a Jew. Yeah, that's what the guy said. I said, well, it's worked for 40 years. It's been doing pretty good in my life so far. I said, but the truth of the matter is, friend, and he had some messed up theology, I'll tell you that. But God says in Chronicles, I'll bless any nation that repents of its sin and comes to me. And besides, you want to get all Jew and Gentile? You know, well, that's, you know, we're over here. We're this group. And then we're this group. There's a lot of what's called Messianic Jews. And that's fantastic. And then there's Gentiles who somehow think they become Jews. And they're like real strange. But you got to remember, in the Jewish community, you have to remember the father of the Jewish people was a Gentile. Abraham was not a Jew. You ever think of that? See, I heard that before. He was a Gentile living in Ur of the Chaldees, a pagan worshiper. Looked around his world and nothing satisfied, nothing fit. And the God of eternity spoke into his heart and said, pack up and leave. God called him out of the world. And it wasn't until Abraham became a worshiper of God that he became a Jew. Think of that. So what was it when he got circumcised? God accepted him before circumcision. Oh, Abraham must have kept the law. Moses hadn't even been born yet. There was no Ten Commandments. How do you like that? Isn't that amazing? Think of it. That's awesome.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life. It's a series that helps us reason together while looking to God for the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, are you looking to connect with us? We would really, truly love to hear from you. And tell us how the Real Life Ministry has impacted your life. All you got to do is go to our website, that's jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab labeled Connect. Now, once you're there, you can simply leave a message, ask a question, or sign up for email updates from Pastor Jack. You can also share with us your prayer requests if you'd like, or we can help you find a specific product or resource that we've got available for your spiritual growth. Again, you're going to find very simple ways to connect with us at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.